Staffers at the Maine Public Utilities Commission are scheduled today to issue a preliminary opinion on whether Central Maine Power should get a permit to build a transmission line from the state's western border with Canada down to Lewiston. And on Monday, environmental regulators will open public hearings on the project. But even after those decisions are made, the political battle is likely to continue on a number of fronts. That's the story in this last installment of our week-long series, Power Struggle in the Maine Woods. Fred Bever reports.
The next article 27, is kind of a three-headed monster.
This past Monday night, more than 300 people gathered at the Farmington Community Center to weigh in on the proposed transmission line, which would cut through 53 miles of standing forest in western Maine.
Now, I am definitely 100% against the corridor, and I'll tell you why.
Farmington resident Wendy Hewish says she spent years visiting a log cabin in the woods near where the line would come through. Those woods, she said, are a sanctuary for wildlife and people.
If you chop those down, they're going to be gone forever. So think about it very carefully for you people that have children and grandchildren. What are you going to leave for the future? Thank you.
The project's most prominent supporter, Maine Governor Janet Mills, is also a Farmington voter.
I do have a stake in the future of the planet and in the future of our state and our region.
Mills told the audience the project would deliver low-polluting hydroelectricity to New England and reduce greenhouse gas pollution, lower electricity rates, and trigger a raft of investments. And she took aim at recently aired campaign-style television ads financed by a secretive dark money group called Stop the Corridor. Its members include local activists, but also corporate fossil fuel interests.
CMP's corridor would cut a path as wide as the New Jersey Turnpike through our Maine woods, just so Canada can sell power to Massachusetts. What is Governor Mills thinking? Call Janet Mills right now and tell her to stop.
Because there's been a lot of scary pictures looking like the War of the Worlds, and talk about the New Jersey Turnpike, for crying out loud.
And the ad campaign has put some members of the Stop the Corridor Coalition on the defensive. The Maine Renewable Energy Association and a biomass company that receives state-mandated subsidies, Re-Energy Holdings, dropped out of the coalition after the attacks on Mills. And they sent her apologetic letters.
I think that there is some negativity and there's speculation on who is funding Stop the Corridor.
Senator Howard is a former Carrotunk rafting guide who helped organize a local opposition group. She says despite any blowback from the ads, the growing number of towns revoking support for the project demonstrates a genuine grassroots effort is catching fire.
That shows that our cause is continuing to grow, not just along the corridor for those townspeople, but across the state.
And despite Mills' forceful presentation in Farmington, her hometown audience voted against the project Monday night by a lopsided margin. Powerline politics are also very much alive at the State House in Augusta, where Mills' Democratic Party controls both branches of the legislature. Party leaders have a big stake in the new governor's success, but rank-and-file lawmakers have filed several bills that could stall or even sink the project.
I think it's time the PUC puts a stop to this settlement agreement, that we take some time to look at this again, to accurately assess what, if any, benefits are here for Maine and what are the dangers.
Senator Mark Lawrence, an Elliott Democrat who co-chairs the legislature's Energy Committee, led a bipartisan press conference condemning the project just yesterday. One bill drawing attention would require that big transmission projects win approval from voters in every host town. Another would require an independent analysis of the project's effect on greenhouse gas emissions. Still another would limit a utility's use of eminent domain. And the governor's statehouse allies acknowledge a tricky road ahead.
There's a lot of landmines.
Public advocate Barry Hobbins got behind the project after CMP agreed to his demand for $50 million to assist low-income ratepayers. Hobbins says some players, Republicans and fossil fuel generators in particular, are using the transmission line issue to undermine Mills politically.
She's trying to get off to a good start, which she did, but unfortunately they're all trying to make it so the honeymoon's over early. And, you know, and so on. I don't mean to be disrespectful to any one person. It's just that there's so many dynamic sidebar issues going on.
Project opponents, meanwhile, are already starting to talk about the ultimate backstop, a statewide vote on the CMP power line proposal. A public referendum could be initiated by the legislature or a signature-gathering effort. After this week's vote in Farmington, Selectman Scott Landry, just elected to his first term in the legislature, said a referendum may be the only way that the question can be resolved.
Let the people speak. That's what we're about, isn't it? A democracy?
In a brief interview as she left that meeting, Governor Mills said the issue shouldn't be decided by a politicized ballot campaign, but by state regulators who make informed decisions based on a project's merits and the law. It's a campaign, though, that in some respects seems already to be well underway. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
You can find more stories, video, and documents from the entire series, Power Struggle in the Maine Woods, at our website, mainepublic.org/power.